Blog Talk Radio.
Care to read, you got your Omiinka 7 live coming to you straight from my living room. I'd like to welcome each and every one of you to a new segment of this month. We just completed the final segment yesterday of the National Poetry Month, and we also celebrated Library Day and Teacher Appreciation Day. But we are going on now. And we are asking you to be a part of our new segment for the month. If you can stay with us for the month, I appreciate it. We'll be talking about knowledge is power. Knowledge is power. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to go to station identification. I'll be right back at you in the air. I'm going to bring in those railroad men because they've been working on that chain game. Welcome back, family. Once again, we're starting on a brand new segment of Knowledge is Power. And you're probably wondering, why does Omi always use that phrase, Project 2019? What does it represent, and what is it for the Black African-American people to be astute to? What do they need to know about Project 2019? How does it serve the community? Well, I'll tell you, the mission of Project 2019, and I'd like to read it right from our brochure, the basis for Project 2019, the rationale example for Project 2019 is irrefutable truth. And this is written by Chuck Sanford. The irrefutable truth that Black Americans will never attain social and economic equality in America until Blacks reach educational parity in America. Until we close the gap, to be exact, till we close the gap of illiteracy and close the gap of those who do not have higher levels of academic degrees. The goal of Project 2019, a major goal, is to increase the level of formal education attained by Black Americans in the same level obtained by the rest of America, educational parity. How Project 2019 will be measured? This is how it would be measured. Project 2019's measurements of educational parity is based on college degrees earned. Accordingly, educational parity will be reached when the percentage of Black Americans earn college degrees is equal to the percentage of the rest of America who can earn college degrees as well. Project 2019 completion date has been scheduled for the year of 2019, to be exact. This is a completion by the year of 2019, the 400-year anniversary of the beginning of slavery and what will become of the United States of America. When the year of 2019 comes, we are not going to just look back over our shoulders like the Sankofa bird and say, look how long we've been out of slavery. We want to be able to measure the number of candidates who have gone back to school and obtain some higher level credential to become an academician will reassure us of being able to advance ourselves and make a difference so discrimination cannot prevail. Usually, it's not because of the color and hue of your skin, it's because of the content of your character. And when you're discriminated against, it could be because they use academics to exclude you. With having these academics, you could better have a chance to be included in positions and places of employment. So therefore, we want to reassure ourselves that with credentials, we have a better chance than without credentials. Now, will everybody get a degree? Will everybody have a higher level of academic credentials? No. But there will be some that could go on and get technical credentials and a two-year associate degree. But you mustn't stop with just a high school education or you limit yourself. Now, let me go on to tell you Project 2019 and a little bit about what it is and how I got involved. I got involved because I was very, very concerned about the community and our progress and growth. There were many women working in the profession just as I was, and at that time I was working as a family life educator, educating the families about their special needs rights of their children, showing them how to become an advocate and advocate for themselves and their family. I ran into a young lady who was a multiplicity of people. She wore many hats. She was an abolitionist. She was a Pan-African. She was also a chapter leader of Project 2019. She thought I should also be a project leader as well and asked me to be a part of this organization. At the time, I promised her I would take some time to look in it. I didn't know that this lady was so adamant about it that she drove all the way here, even on her sick bed. She was dying. And after telling me her great commission and commitment, I fell in love with the concept of Project 2019, something for African Americans to have for themselves. Yes, it sounds Pan-African, but it is not something that you have to worry about. It's a movement, and every continent needs to have a movement of change, especially in the churches. Things are not where they should be, ladies and gentlemen, and a lot of us feel that we've now gotten over the grain house. Martin Luther King's death should not be in vain. We should be able to not only get over the grain house, but be academians and institutions owning our own corporations and for-profit businesses. And we should be able to do more than just drink from a water fountain that does not have the word for whites only on it. We should be able to do something more than just ride on the front of the bus. We should be able to name for ourselves, define for ourselves, create corporations for ourselves, provide for ourselves, have self-ability to be able to be self-reliant and to be able to provide for ourselves. The more education we've gotten, the less that we are providing for ourselves. We aim to close the gap of disparity. We aim to get as many people back in school and credentialed because that is what's going to reassure the African Americans of preventing a large portion of segregation, integration, and don't let me say proclamation. I want to say that those things can reassure us that we have a chance to compete in the arena with other races of people. Now, how is it that when we were fighting in the abolitionists and trying to win our right to vote, there were no Hispanics here in this country? at that particular time. Now, the numbers have grown, and the numbers have grown so widely that they have superseded African Americans. I don't know how that could have happened if they're breaking through the borders and coming in, because if there's someone at the gate preventing the break-in, there shouldn't be more numbers than the African American. Nevertheless, African Americans, you must take education seriously. It is such a terrible thing what's happening to our education system. The children cannot pass the I-STEP. The children cannot pass the basic education exam. So congressmen and businessmen are taking funds away. They're dwindling the funds, and they are also letting go many teachers on the staff. As a matter of fact, here in my own hometown, it was just written in the newspaper, and I quote from hearsay, because I haven't read it yet, and I will have to plead the fifth on that, that over 300 teachers will be let go. That's a large number of teachers to be unemployed. Now, what about the new teachers coming out of school? Well, they're making way for them. They're cost-effective. They're cheaper to hire them than it would be to hire a seasoned teacher. Then what are you saying, Omi? What I'm saying is we've got to present something brand new to our children to give them a desire to make them eager for education. Maybe the young folks who are coming out of school can do it, but you sure cannot masquerade on with this profession, giving children outdated curriculum and information. Even though it's plentiful, we must replace it with updated and current information that is interesting for the children. Now, I'm also saying that as we as African Americans get an understanding that the government has provided funding for us to go back under the Pell Grant, he's provided funding, so there's no reason you can't apply to get the funds if your financial need wants you to obtain those funds. Then they are available, and especially for teachers. Teachers, I have to tell you that if you are aspiring to be a teacher, you no longer will be putting in just 4 years. It is now easily a 5-year program because of all the required programs and courses. What I'd like to say is that we are going to close the gap, because there's many areas that we can direct you to obtain credential. I became an academician because I wanted to get degrees that my family hadn't gotten. I was one of the first, along with my second nephew, who got our degrees in the family, and no one else has received their degrees but my nephew and I. And that makes us a first generation. I want you to be a first generation academician as well. And it's very important not to just say, I'm not getting this degree for myself, but it's for your community. Now, Pride of 2019 is a national movement. I want you to know that. And by Black Americans, we want to reach education parity, as I told you. Based on percentages of African-American population, whites and Asians can earn twice as many college degrees as blacks. 86% of white graduates from high school, and I quote, versus 80% of blacks and black Americans are dead last behind whites and Hispanics. Asian Americans and Native Americans in reading proficiency, math proficiency, and science proficiency. We must accept the irrefutable fact that black Americans will never obtain social and economic equality in America until black Americans reach educational parity in America. Knowledge is power, and that is our slogan. White Americans has always clearly understood and wholeheartedly believe this truth. It is the reason why it was illegal to educate blacks during 246 years of slavery, and black Americans received separate substandard education during 103 years of Jim Crow law. Now, you know we've been talking about Jim Crow law in here. Now, Caucasian, I don't want you to hold your head down and feel like we're whipping on you or beating on you. We know that you weren't there when your ancestors held us in slavery. But you must know the facts. You did reap the benefit of someone in your ancestorship holding us in slavery. You're reaping the benefits now, as to be a fact. Then why not help an African-American enroll in school? Why not assist them and aid them so that they can come into parity? But we nevertheless have to quote these statistics, and I know they're gruesome. Knowledge is power, and I want you to know that, okay? Knowledge is power, and it has only been during the first 30-plus years of the equal opportunity era that all black Americans have had the opportunity to obtain knowledge. In America, and they compete on a nearly a level of playing field. Just only recently, in the technology-based global economy of 21st century, there is no need to discriminate against black Americans based on skin color anymore. De facto educational discrimination is what they call it. De facto, repeat this, de facto educational discrimination produce the same results, and it is not illegal to do so. What do I mean? What are you saying, Omi? You don't have to say you can't hire colored people or African-American or blacks. You use the de facto educational discrimination, and that means that I can require everyone who submits an application to have a baccalaureate degree or a master's degree. And because of statistics showing that you African-Americans are low on a totem pole to obtain these credentials, I don't have to say you're dismissed because of your color. I only merely need to say this requires a degree, and that will exclude you. Why did you say? It's because of the de facto educational discrimination. Knowledge is power, so you need this knowledge. And as long as black remain the least educated and the least knowledgeable, black in America will remain the people with the least amount of power in America. Knowledge is power, ladies and gentlemen. When you are empowered with knowledge, it is like having extra filthy lucre, and I want you to know that. So when you don't have that, you are discriminated because you cannot utilize it. Let's go to station identification, and I'll be right back at you in the air. This is Nettie's Teacher's Lesson. Thank you. Welcome back, family. Once again, we are speaking on the topic this evening of knowledge is power. We are Project 2019. We are the organization that has been tracking the advancement of African Americans who have gone back to school and obtained credentials in higher level education. Not necessarily a bachelor's degree. It could be a 1-year certificate. It could be a 2-year technical degree or a bachelor's or master's or PhD. We are trying to close the gap of disparity because we know that by the year of 2019, the African Americans would have been out of slavery for over 400 years. The question is, what have we done with our freedom? What have we done with our freedom? And what have we done with the ability to close the gap of illiteracy? Because we all know that we were not permitted to read during those slavery years. Now that we're unmolested and free, what in the world are you doing with your education? I want to ask the question again, African Americans. What in the world are you doing with your education? Knowledge is power, and the more education you have, you can defend yourself. You can define for yourself. You can even write and request that you speak in pro se on behalf of yourself. And this segment of the show will be talking about pro se. How do you obtain NOLENS material? How do you obtain a pro se lawyer or pro bono lawyer or assistant from paralegals? How do you obtain this? Say, for example, you have no money, you have no ability to obtain an attorney, but yet you need defending, yet you need to fight a case that you know you're perfectly innocent of. Then the laws have provided something called pro se for you, African Americans and Caucasian and other people who want to defend yourself. NOLEN has talked with me about their materials and their free online books. And you'll look on my site and you'll see the one that we're featuring today under QuickBooks and some of, well, actually we're featuring that one next tomorrow. But we have some of their books that are listed there under How to Beat a Traffic Ticket. There are several different books that they are listing there, How to Write Your Will and How to Also Obtain Records. There are several books that you can read for free online. I want you to go to those NOLEN books, read those books, and if they fit your fancy, go on and find out how you can download the books, but they're online for free. Why wouldn't you want to have it in your hand? You must ask permission to have it downloaded, but you can read the books. We provided that for free. NOLEN and I talked about the services that they have, and they have a wealth and a plethora of materials for you, ladies and gentlemen. You don't have to be aroused and be afraid and wonder, how can I do this? Just start reading. If you care to read, that's what this room is about. Start reading and educating yourself and become competent with the things that you can do, and you will find yourself being able to fill in the proper information for those types of legal services you need, such as name changing, a number of different procedures. So as you look for how to make a quick will, or if you are interested in finding out how to get your visitation rights to your child, there are a number of elder care law. There are a number of different books. Don't stop reading until you find the one that you need to help yourself. Now, what is pro se? What does pro se mean? That means speaking out on behalf of yourself and representing yourself in a court of law, sometimes in front of a jury and in front of the judge. Once you decide to do this, the judge will expect that you will follow all the procedures and follow all notifications and making sure you file things in a timely manner. Don't be afraid and don't be dismayed, because you cannot be lazy doing pro se. If you choose not to read something or follow up on looking at detailed information and reading the statute, reading the case law, shame on you. You should not be engaging in pro se, because you're going to be expected to act just like your own attorney. Now, all of you are not suited for this. Some of you should go and seek an attorney. Seek an attorney that will offer his services under pro bono. Sometimes that's with a low fee or no fee. It all depends on who's available. You can go to the Bar Association to locate these attorneys, the low-paying attorneys. Sometimes they are still students in school that will be willing to take your case, but you have to look high and low. They're not looking for you because most of the time they're trying to get paid. Now, I'll say this also. It's very important for you to understand that knowledge is power. And those of you who don't have the filthy lucre, then you're going to have to harness up on your skills and your knowledge. Now, I want to take a station identification, and I want to pay homage to my ancestors and give them sanction today in this room. If you'll just pardon me for a minute, I am going to go over to my area where I do the dedication. I'd like to pour a glass of water on behalf of my father's spirit. And I'm going to put some soft music in the background if you don't mind. I like to pour a glass of water for my mother's spirit, and I say, I say. I like to wash my face so I don't meet my ancestors with a still face. I light a candle on behalf of my spirit, and I say, I say. I light a candle on behalf of my mother's spirit, and I say, I say. I pay homage to my ancestors today, and the highest form, Ola Dunamare, we praise you. Oh, we also call on Ori, we praise you, and Uluru, we praise you. We thank you for the opportunity to be gathered here today. I'm molested, speaking, and reading in our own native tongue and our own ability. We thank you, Father, that you've given us this opportunity to speak on topics that we never have been able to speak on. We thank you for the opportunity to find law and give law to us ungratefully for them who ask. We know that knowledge is power, and we thank you for the knowledge you've given us, Father. Help us to quicken and go and find those nuggets that are hidden away. And let us gird ourselves with this knowledge and use it to help our situation and our family situation. Father, we thank you for this hour. We thank you for this time you've given us. And we ask that every household is represented in it, that you will begin to get the glory out of their lives, and each and every one of them will stand accountable for the mission, the great commission of education, the great commission of closing the gap of illiteracy, the great commission of us learning the proper ways to use our legal system. Father, help us to use the legal system to our benefit, to unincarcerate those brothers and sisters that are locked away. Help us to show them how to use the legal system to better themselves, to release themselves, and to free themselves from the bondage. Father, we are no longer held with chains and bondage on our hands and feet, but our minds have been incarcerated. We ask you to release our minds so that our minds are free and able to comprehend and understand the things that you called us to do, and that is to understand the legal aspect of law today. We thank you, Father. Ladies and gentlemen, I have to stop and pay homage to my higher self, because if I don't stop and pay acknowledgement to those whose shoulders we stand on, the great, great commission of so many slaves going through. Some of them didn't pass through the middle passes. Some of them are still caught in the lagoon. Some of them are still traveling on their way, trying to make it home. It is because of their shoulders that I stand here unmolested in front of you today, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Father God, I thank you that your spirit has been placed in me, and that because of your spirit, it allows me to soar above my circumstances. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't want you to look back on slavery and think that slavery is going to hold me back. But slavery happened for a reason, and it wasn't all white people that put us in slavery. And as I tried to teach you and show you that Africans played along with the slave trade, and what happened has made most of us striving and able individuals, able to the point that we have surpassed what bondage we were under, and some of us have gone on to educate ourselves and to close the gap. Some of us have gone on to get credentials that no one ever thought that we could get. Reading is not just fundamental for African Americans. It is required and necessary. We know that knowledge is power. As you begin to read those Nolan books, I want you to understand that Nolan has a history. Read the history behind how Nolan got started and why Nolan wants you to read those books and use them to benefit your legal situation. Now, I'm going to be featuring all of Nolan's books this month, and we're going to take some time to get in those books. Oh, I see I have a listener out there. I'm going to chime him in. Hello, listening audience. How are you?
I'm good.
Hello. Who am I speaking
to? Ben.
Yes, who am I speaking to?
This is Ben.
This is Ben? Hi, Ben.
Yes.
Ben, where are you calling from?
Syracuse, New York.
Okay. Do you have a question or a comment this evening?
No, just browsing the Blog Talk Radio and just try to tune in to see what's, you know, interesting. And I was listening, you know, about for 5 to 10 minutes. It was pretty interesting about African Americans and education and things like that. So,
well, thank you so much, Ben, for tuning in this evening. Our show is all-encompassing family show. It's a family life consumer show, and it works with aspects of spirituality, education, consciousness as well. Our main thing is to close the gap of disparity, and this month's topic is going to be specifically on talking with some of our leaders. I am connected to Project 2019. I was just recently moved up to the executive person to work with all the chapter members. So we are going to be talking with those chapter members, talking about their mission statement and what their goals are for education. And as we do that, we're going to be informing their chapters about the literature that's available under Pro Se, so that most of our African American people can find out if they can't afford attorneys, they can sit down, research their case, gather the facts, and put together and try to ascertain a pro bono lawyer that will assist them. If not, they can represent themselves. So that's what this month's show is about. Now,
okay.
Have you been engaged at any point where you needed assistance, where you wanted to do your own case?
No. Nope. Nothing like that.
And see, everybody's not suited for doing their own case. And I tell people that there are lawyers that handle that. Let them handle this burden and ask them if you can help them compile the information. Therefore, it is done timely and in a professional manner, because the courts don't have the patience for you stumbling through things. They want you to do things on a time-sensitive, you know, manner. So what we're mainly doing is making sure that they understand that online Nolan has made their books available, they can read them, and they can get in the habit of collecting books for their library and trying to help themselves.
Okay.
Now,
yeah, that sounds like a good idea.
Well, you know, the other thing I was going to say is that young students, I used to teach social studies, and a couple of the instructors taught street law, and that was the most popular course because every student wanted to be informed. And I think if more of the social studies teachers incorporated street law and how to plead the fifth and, you know, what it means to plead the fifth, a lot of youngsters just say, I plead the fifth. They know that it means something, but they can't clearly understand what it's tied to. And it would be great for them to take a field trip into the legal department, understanding how to gain information, like how to look up a case and how to cite, you know, prima facie cases. Like on my website, I have a case on there for Plessy and Ferguson, and I was so film with that case and what it meant. And it was so popular, people didn't even have to read it. They would just say, they would put it in, and they would cite in their case, C. Plessy and Ferguson. And it became a very, very popular case. It's out on my Facebook. And a lot of people, you know, were reading it for the first time. I find that most people are afraid of law, and they don't endeavor in understanding it. But it's very, very important that we have to understand that the Egyptians developed law and gave law to the world. So it is something that our ancestors not only dabbled in, but they helped create.
Okay. I understand. Do you, could you speak of spirituality? Do you, read out the Bible as well, or do you have, like, a religion?
Well, yes, I do read out the Bible. As a matter of fact, I have given two scriptures for everyone this year to follow, and that was, one was Exodus 23 and Deuteronomy 16. Those were two scriptures I gave for this being the new year of the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, where we made it transition out of, you know, when it went through and placed the blood to transition you into, and then, you know, are you familiar with the, with Ramadan? It's a form of Ramadan where they did not eat and they fasted and they waited, and after the fasting, supposedly the circumcisions were done. It's a whole process for the Muslims. However, the Christians don't do a whole lot with it, but I'm trying to get people more identifying more with the festivities and the rituals, understanding that African Americans need rituals.
Yes, I agree with that.
So, yes, I do. To answer your question, yes, I do read the Bible. I tell people I am a Christian that happens to have a lifestyle of Yoruba. My way of lifestyle of Yoruba is a custom of how I live, and Yoruba is not really a religion, it's a way of life. I was baptized in Baptist and brought up in Baptist. However, I learned the way of Yoruba, and I practice that because I'm African-American, and it's important to, you know, practice something in your culture.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Do you know anything about, like, the slave ships in the Bible at all?
No, I'm not familiar with the slave ships other than the slave ship Jesus. Are you referring to the slave ship Jesus?
No, like the actual slave ships, because I'm trying to, you know, talk to, because I'm African-American myself, and I'm trying to, you know, gather people in our community. I'm trying to bring us together, but I'm trying to use the Bible as the main form of getting everybody together. And, you know, while reading the Bible, I found a lot of different things, like how the real children of Israel basically went to captivity on slave ships, and how we were sold unto our enemies, and it's actually in the Bible as well.
Okay.
Have you found those scriptures? Yeah, I can quote it if you want me to. This is your show. So
yeah, what are the scriptures you found?
I read the King James Version. This is in Deuteronomy 28.
Mm-hmm.
Verse.
Okay.
68.
What does it say?
Okay. This is Deuteronomy 28:1. It says, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth." So there is saying, talking to the children of Israel, if you obey all the commandments, you'll be high, you know, you'll be above all nations of the earth. Then Deuteronomy 28:15, "But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee.
Oh, yeah, that's where they curse down to the thousandth generation. So
exactly. Some
of the people are reaping these curses now.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now,
what do you want to do with that? Do you want to show the people how to come out of that and break the curse? Because, you know, Marilyn Hickey has taken a large percentage of us through breaking curses. And there is a process where you can break a curse, because that curse has been set over a generation in churches, and a large percentage of the evangelists and apostles have decided to break the curse. Have you talked to your minister about breaking that curse?
No, it's not really breaking a curse, but just actually identify who we are as a people. That's why I go to the curses.
Why don't you go to the section where they talk about the 12 tribes so you can really learn who you are?
Yeah, I'll do that too. Let me finish this up. So it says, if you don't keep the commandments, all these curses, right? So this is Deuteronomy 28 and 68. It says, and the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships. Now, when it says Egypt, it just means bondage or captivity, if you preset that up with Exodus 20 and 1. So it says, and the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt, which is captivity, again with ships. By the way whereof I spake unto thee, thou shalt see it no more again. And there ye shall be sold unto your enemies for bondmen, which is a slave man, and bondwoman.
That is so clear.
Which is a slave woman, and no man shall buy you. Meaning what? No man shall redeem you or save you. And if you link this up with Jeremiah 17 and 4, it says, thou, even thyself, shall discontinue from thy inheritance that I gave thee, because we broke the curses of
the
Bible.
So we've lost. So you know they're speaking in the past that we've lost our inheritance. You know it's Ben, right?
Yes.
Did you say Ben? Ben, you're absolutely sure that has come to pass because of stiff-necked people. We lost our inheritance. I'm going to ask you to come on the show again on tomorrow, Ben. We're out of time, but we are not out of conversation. We can meet you tomorrow here at the same time. So if you'll meet back here, we're on our way on to get on this train, and we'd like to thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Ben from New York. And Ben, we're going to ask you to come back and speak to us tomorrow. The train is on its way. I got to get on the train, Ben. And I'll see you tomorrow. We got to get my fare. Got to get out of here. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay.
We're going to finish another segment of Care to Read. Come on in and join us tomorrow. We're going to get on this train now. We got to go. We've been talking about Nolan's books. Go out on my webpage and read those books. And you can go out on that website and read those books for free. I'm out of here. Hold on, train. I'm on my way. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you tomorrow. Ben has come in the room to intrigue us with some reading from the Bible. We'll see Ben tomorrow. Ben, join us tomorrow. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. Ladies and gentlemen, we want to say Odabo on that note. And Baba Booey to you, y'all. We'll see you tomorrow. Thank you so much. Have a good evening.